יאלו לב טוב, עין טובה, מחשבה טובה והרבה הרבה שמחה. הרבה 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 שמחה, התכוננת על מקומו ועוד מעט ואין רשע.
Shalom everybody and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. We are on our balcony here in Judea. Came back from America, finished with 7 days of quarantine. Now we're back. Malka Fleisher joins me. Shalom, Malka.
Hi, Yishai. It's great to be back here on our Judean balcony here in the land of Israel. Off the plane, off the trip. Although the trip was very, very nice and we had a fantastic, amazing time. But it's good to be back. Holidays coming.
And also school is coming for kids. I'm sure you're working hard to prepare the children for getting back to school and also giving us finally our lives back a little bit.
We went school shopping yesterday. You know, the transition back to Israel has been great, but has been also complicated. You know, I think that everybody who's listening to this can relate to the feeling of it being a difficult time. You know, even those of us who are living whatever is like normal lives, there's always this undercurrent these days of like, you're worried about the coronavirus. You're worried about, here in Israel, there's a big worry about tourism. When is that ever going to come back? And here in Israel in particular, you know, we went to Florida, we went to Texas, we went to New Jersey, and there's different coronavirus, like limitations and, laws. Here in Israel, we're very, very strict about the laws for masking and checking and all this stuff. And the kids are about to go back to school. So there's like a whole new layer of things to be thinking about. Even though we did this already last year, it still feels to me like this is like new concerns in a way. Like it refreshed itself. So I'm very glad actually to be in the month of Elul right now, which is a month where you're supposed to really do some introspection and recalibrate yourself. I cannot say that I'm having the easiest recalibration time, but maybe that's part of the recalibration where you have to like, you know, work with yourself and fight with some different parts. I'm personally working on my recalibration, trying hard, and I'm hoping to get there. By Rosh Hashanah, and then by Rosh Hashanah, I'm hoping to be like, who are you kidding, and get there by Yom Kippur, and then be like, okay, well, I tried, and then really try to do it by Sukkot.
Okay, that's a good plan, Malka. It's definitely true that the calendar is made up in such a way is that you're supposed to kind of go through these hoops. And get there, get where you're supposed to be going. I think that you said something to me which touched me, which is like right now is the time to, you know, not worry so much about the state of Israel or the state of America or the state of the world, and really just worry more about a little bit of Judaism, get back to a personal spiritual connection. And I add to that you said like revert to Jewish. I like that very much, and I think these Torah portions with Moses talking about, you know, the important things that in faith and in the land of Israel, and getting back to a place of joy about that. I think that's really what it is. There's a lot of lack of joy out there. It's a little joyless. Joy is not like the dominant emotion out there, and so you know that kind of makes everything in the world a little bit more monochromatic, a little more grayscale. And the truth of the matter is that there's a lot to be joyous about, and there are some painful things. But one of the things that I'm keep on trying to push in my friends who are having some derangement through corona issues. And when I say derangement, I mean like just oversensitive on both sides. As I say, just step back a little bit. Let's relax. Let's be thankful. Let's be happy. Get back to simple and plain things.
Well, I think that some people are looking at the scenario. I don't have to tell you, but, you know, some people are looking at the scenario and they're just so disturbed. They're disturbed one way or the other. You have the pro-vaxxers who are just so disturbed that anyone could think to themselves that this is not a good vaccine, and that anyone could think to themselves that this is some kind of like weird conspiracy of the government to do this, to do that to people. And they're just like, what's your problem? Like, people are sick, get vaccinated. It's so simple. Don't you like science? Science has saved us a million times. And then you have the anti-vax people who are like, everything is so sketchy. Why are you forcing this down my throat? If you would only just tell me that this is my choice, then I could choose it. But you don't even let me choose it. And then Facebook is erasing this kind of message and that kind of message. And I can't trust anybody anymore. And I'm freaking out. And so all, I think that even those of us who don't live on those edges of the spectrum are living with it. And you're constantly living with this, and you're always, you always end up finding yourself talking about it and talking about the coronavirus restrictions. On top of everything, here in the land of Israel, even though I want to say that, that we have had the great joy, and I really mean joy, it's been something that has really added joy to my life recently, to meet lots of new Olim. People, we even met new Olim outside the coronavirus testing center because you are obligated to go into 7-day quarantine after you go, after you return from almost every country in the world now, even if you are double vaccinated. So we were getting our vaccine, we were getting our coronavirus test to get out of quarantine, and we ran into some new Olim. And that just gives me a lot of joy in my heart. But nonetheless, here in the land of Israel, it's also not so simple. You know, our new coalition is not making that many people very, very happy. And some people it's making very unhappy. And we're sort of wondering how we got into this situation in which we have a leadership which is really not so right wing and a coalition which is really not so right wing. And then you're just wondering, how did everything go backwards? You know, now we're living in this situation in which our kids are going to be tested all the time, and isolations, and coronavirus is shutting down things still, and people can't come into the land of Israel. But at the same time, like I said, you know, we have the holidays coming. I think that is a huge comfort and a huge kindness on the part of the KBH, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the leader and creator of the world. And, you know, I always like to think on Rosh Hashanah that really they, in Elo, we talk about that the king is in the field, which means that the king, Hashem, is down with the people. And that's a really good time to talk to him. He's traveling on his way to the palace. And on the way to the palace, you can greet him. You can talk to him. You can consult with him. You can ask from him. You can get advice. And he's closer. And then on Rosh Hashanah, he ascends to the throne, and not that he ever really leaves the throne, but these are metaphors, right? That he ascends to the throne and takes the full kingship and is in his highest abode. And I like to think of that as our yearly election. Every year we vote. Do you want, you know, they say there is no king without a people. And we are Hashem's people. All the people in the world are Hashem's people, and the Jewish people are Hashem's special people. And it's our job every year to decide, who are we voting for? And every year I say, I'm going to the polls and I am voting yes for Hashem. It's not enough that Hashem is the king. Yes, it's true. He'll be king without you. With you, without you, he'll be king. But you have a chance to vote. This is your one election per year. This is your time to put your little ballot in the ballot box and say, do I want this or not? And the answer is going to be yes. And that feels like a little piece of empowerment that we have every year to say, yes, I vote for you, Hashem, for King 20, 22, or 57.
70.
70.
We were in Tashpa, and this is Tashpa?
Tashpub, I think.
Tashpub.
Two.
Yeah, that's right, 5772.
Yes, going to the pub this year.
5782.
5782.
Yes. That's a lot of years to count for Jewish people, you know what I mean? You know, we have a lot of years to count, so don't, you know, it's not 2022. It's 5782. That's, yes, a lot of years.
So Hashem for King, 5782.
Right. Okay, vote often, vote early, vote often. Yes. That's right. And yeah, Malka, the kids had a wonderful summer, and now it's time to get them back in their mizgarot, which means
Hebrew word of the day. Mizgeret, which means a structure.
That's right. So get them back in the structure and their framework and their mizgeret
of schools,
and we'll see how long that lasts before things get funky monkey on us. And there's the questions of testing, and there's the questions of giving kids vaccines and third vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of pressure out there. But whatever, I just say whatever. Let's get to shul. You know, let's listen to a good Dvar Torah, and Rav Mike Foyer is coming on next. And I don't know, sometimes you just got to surf a little bit. You got to pick a personal goal. We talk about that in the next half as well. Pick a personal goal and do it. and make your impact on in your world. And I'm excited myself. I'm actually excited for another year. I'm excited for this world, and I'm excited to beat back the bad guys and win our land and to light up our land. And I just know so many awesome people involved in good energy things. And I just want to send out good energy. Let's just all agree right now to just be channels for good energy. Let's just channel that good energy. Let's be willing to receive it, and let's be willing to send it out as well. And all of us with just that little smile, it makes all the difference in the world to everybody.
I so agree, Yishai. And I think that is part of this year's teshuva process for everybody. I think that everybody's job is to acknowledge also the places in the world where you don't bring so much joy. Maybe you're not bringing so much joy to others. Maybe you're not bringing so much joy to yourself. Maybe you're not bringing so much joy to Hashem. And to say, you know what? Let's, as they call it, flip the script. Let's focus on bringing more happiness. That doesn't mean being fake. That means accessing actively and on purpose your positive side. The part of you which does see things good, can see things good, which can say something nice or can say something not so nice in a nicer way, which can be more helpful, which can look for places to add to the world and not places to just sink down within yourself. I'm talking to me, guys. I am not preaching to anybody out there. I'm preaching to me. Hopefully you can also hitch a ride onto my effort here, and I'll hitch a ride onto yours.
Malka, I've got a long day ahead of me today, including going back to Hebron, and I'm excited to go to the Jewish community of Hebron and see the Tomb of the Fathers and Mothers. I also got to go shooting today. I got a big shooting training day, like 4 hours of training. I'm very excited about that. So there's a lot to do. So I want to bid you adieu and a farewell and give you a blessing to continue to be such an inspiration for our family and for the world. And all of you out there, feel blessed and channel that smile, right? Channel it for yourself and channel it for your kids and family. And channel it also for the people around you, and the world will smile back. Let's get the smiles back out there, folks. Let's just do it. I think that's what the world needs right now. Lots of love and lots of blessings. Rav Mike Foyer is next. Malka Fleischer, Shabbat Shalom, Shana Tova. Thank you so much for being with us.
Shana Tova. I can't wait to see you guys again here in the Holy Land.
All right, folks, stay tuned. More great stuff is on the way. We'll be right back, and Shalom. All right, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show. We are broadcasting live from Judea to the world, and you're a part of it wherever you are. And shalom and welcome to Rav Mike Foyer. Shalom.
Oh, shalom, Yishai. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to be seen. And I am have been declared to be a free man.
Free
I'm a free man. Wow. After our American trip, We were as the law dictates,
interned by our political masters.
That's right. Well, for our own safety.
Well, okay? It is a medical surveillance state, which is serving your needs. Let's not forget that. Please move smoothly to the right.
Well, you know,
don't get me started, Yishai.
Yeah, I won't. That's exactly what I was warning you to do, because because I have a WhatsApp group with a lot of my friends, and I threw out like a very cautious question about go no go for third shot, and let's just say it came a very heated and more unfriendly than I would have liked a discussion. So I'm going to say this to you folks: I'm not going to give you any medical recommendations, but as I say all the time to people, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, please do not succumb. Please do not succumb to COVID derangement syndrome on one side or the other. Just keep it conversive.
Keep it cool.
Right. Just whatever you think. It's all good, but don't flip out. Let's talk about another topic that's important. And I want to wish everybody great health. If you're not sick, then I wish you health. And if you want to take the third shot, Gesunte Hayden, good luck. And if you had COVID, well, congratulations. And if you passed it, well, that's great. And if not,
you're struggling, Chazak v'amatz.
That's right.
Rufua shlema.
That's right. That's right. So wherever you are in the aisle, but let's just stay friendly to one another. We love one another.
Keep it level, people.
That's right.
We're not letting this one tear apart our society as it eats our planet.
Really, it wants to do that, and it wants to, and maybe it's not eating our planet. That's a very you're prejudicing. I don't know. You know, there's like a whole discourse out there of what this thing is. But bottom line is, I'm going to stay friendly.
My discourse. Okay.
Right. That's
same all. Level. Same level and drawing limits are actually related to each other.
That's right. That's right. Okay, fine. So you can have your perspective and opinion and be full on about it.
You can take your perspective and your opinion. Sorry, we're going to stop now because we said we were going to stay tight. Because this will go on forever. Because if it isn't you and I, but
we have also. Well, I think
we have
a lot
more important things to discuss.
We do. It's interesting you say that.
And not
it's interesting you say that because Malka, and maybe I'll have her on the show today later. She said something to me, which is. Right now, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah, something like that.
She said, the 2 week mark. Full moon was a couple days ago.
That's right. And she said, I am backing down a little bit from the news and backing down a little bit from even Israelism, like the issues of Israel and the political issues around it. I'm going to revert a little bit back to Jewish, to Judaism, to Torah. Like, this is a good time to a little bit. And I bumped into a neighbor of mine. I'm like, how are you feeling? He's like, and this is a news junkie. He goes, I haven't watched the news for 2 weeks. And there's something about that right now. And it's related to the previous topic, which we talked about, which is like, right now, it's a good place to also put all those issues, the issues that are in the front of the headlines. If it's on the front page of the newspaper, it's okay not to deal with it today a little bit. and to talk a little bit more about the spirit and come back to connectivity, plug your personal self, stuff that you can effectuate personally, you know, plug that into the spiritual wall socket. And I recommend, this is my recommendation. Let's get ready for Rosh Hashanah properly and kind of detach from the issues that other people think are important issues for ourselves.
The word I was waiting for you to say, which was written all over the substance of what you had there, was get rid of the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's always important to remember that things we find compelling, like you said, a news junkie, or like when I work a lot in counseling, I see people have a WhatsApp problem because it's compelling, and the things we find compelling sometimes are because they're genuinely important to us and expressive of our essence and who we are and our mission in the world. Sometimes it's because they're a tremendous distraction that allows us to avoid all the painful, awful, or even just annoying and petty parts of life that we don't want to face.
Yeah.
So one of the powers of Elul. Is that there's a whole, you know, we talk about HaMelech Basader, right, the king in the field. There's a field of possibility, as Rav Daniel used to tell us. You got to think of it as a field of possibility. Like Mamish, in the quantum physics sense, here's the time where you're going to be able to say, I'm a Rasha or Tzaddik. I'm righteous or I'm wicked. I'm the book of life is open for God and nothing is written in it. Until you decide what it's going to be. You're in a wide open possibility right now. And the worst thing you want to do when everything is an option is to get distracted.
Right. Right.
Right. Because you're going to end up with a person you don't want to be in a world that you don't want to live in. So I agree with you 100%. Plugging into yourself, asking some hard questions. I'll give you a couple of pieces of advice that I gave someone recently that I found have resonated. So I'll repeat it. Have a conversation with someone who can challenge your assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take on a daily challenge, just some daily challenge, and make it for 30 days. And last but certainly not least, take a risk. Do something uncomfortable. Preferably,
it's
which
interesting
is legal
you say
and
that.
Kind.
It's interesting you say that because I actually gave somebody advice in a way contradictory to that. I said to him, I said, maybe I'm fulfilling that thing that you just said, which is my advice was actually take a step back and enjoy yourself a little bit. Like there's this edge out there. There's this edge, and it's an edge in conversation. It's an edge in relationships. And people tell me that they can't even speak in their own families about, let's say, politics or COVID or that. And I'm like, take the edge off a little bit. Find your happy place again. Like, go back to places that connect for you in Torah and stuff like that and spirituality. Just actually take a deep breath. Like this morning, I was having my cup of coffee. I went out into my porch, and I made sure to take some deep breaths and just be like, And kind of like smiled at the world. And I said to myself, I'm smiling at you, world. And the world said back. I smiled back to you, you know? So, you know, I hear what you're saying. And so therefore, maybe there are two different kinds of folks out there or the folks that need to hear it. So Rav Mike is like, challenge yourself. What else you said? Challenge yourself.
Have a conversation with someone who will challenge your assumptions.
Right.
Right. Take on a habit goal, some daily goal, and do it for 30 days.
Yes.
And do one thing outside your comfort zone.
Very good. Okay.
By the way, I don't think they contradict.
I'm going to try to do some intermittent fasting. I know that you yourself also are a believer
in
that.
That's a great 30-day goal.
Yeah, it's a great 30-day goal. I like that very much, and that's a great – and it's good on so many levels, the intermittent fasting, even on the level –
I'm a big fan of actually making a chart. You don't have to use stickers. You can just cross them off. But the chart is a very powerful tool. We like relegate it to the world of our kindergartners trying to, you know, potty train or whatever. But don't undervalue the gaming mentality, which is at this point softwired, if not hardwired, into our brains. It's like a very satisfying thing. You watch the days rack up. It's you got stakes in the game. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I like that a lot. So I'm gonna take that upon myself, and at the same time, find something that like try my way, which is like I'm gonna take upon what Rev Mike says, and I also issue forth like have a cup of tea on the mirpeset on the balcony, and smile and just. Take a deep breath and smile and be like, and call up your family member who you're having an issue with about COVID or about Afghanistan or about Biden or something. And just be like, hey man, you know, I really love you. I just want to say that, you know, and like let all the fights kind of be thrown off. All right.
For many people, it's outside their comfort zone, but I bet you don't take breaks easily.
Yes. We are in a society that we are in a state of time where all kinds of big powers out there want you to be addicted.
Oh yeah.
Like addiction is a part of marketing today. So I don't want you just, you know, like
part of?
Like there's certain things that are like laundry detergent. They just want you to buy some laundry detergent when you need it. But then there's other products out there, you know, that want you to be addicted to them. And I find that to be not so cool. And so notice the things that are trying to make you addicted. And be like, no, thanks. It's about liberation. It's about
freedom.
Notice
that their primary tool for doing that in your life is your phone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it depends.
In America, probably watching us right now.
Right. That's right. Well, if you want to be addicted to love, to Torah, that's okay. You might as well face it. You're addicted.
Isn't that a song title? What a great song title.
That's right. So let's just say hi to all the folks that are with us, including, our good friend and co-producer, Lou. Who's out there?
Hello.
He says, Boker Tov, welcome Yishen Rav Mike. Okay, audio and video looks good, looks real good. Thank you very much. I called the internet company and I asked them for more bandwidth. Okay. I said to them, give me the bandwidth I'm supposed to be getting.
Well, yeah.
and that's what we're gonna ask of God, but just more politely. We're gonna say,
that's right.
Can you give us pie, more Lord. Bandwidth? We really want more bandwidth.
Well, I mean, you know, Mina Meta Kratika. Anani b'merchavya, right? Right. I called out to God from the narrow places, and he answered me in a broad bandwidth.
That's right. Broadband. Well, that's what we're looking for, broadband.
He answered me with the broadband.
My good friend, Johan Bilu, Biju from George, says from India, shalom from India. And a lot of people are saying hi.
Great.
And let's see who else. We're also getting a hello from somewhere else. Where did I see just now? Is it gone? Oh, from Manchester. Allison says, Boker Tov from Manchester. I got a lot of friends and fans in England.
Can you name that? No? Everybody get that. Manchester, England.
I don't know that one. I'm sorry.
There are people listening now who know it.
Okay, so
that's a generation.
You know it.
It's before
if you know
generation.
It, you can write to me, yishaiflesh.com or Rav Mike. What's your
Rav
great
Mike
email
Foyer
today?
At RavMikeFoyer@gmail.com.
RavMikeFoyer@gmail. That's right. And hello to our friend Erica. She says, Boker Tov and Shalom from Sweden. Great to be back with you on live. We were not exactly live. And then last week we were kind of live, but there was like bad connectivity. So now we're back.
You were jet lagged. I felt like it was really kind of
that's
a poor
right.
thing.
That's right. And you sometimes have spiritual jet lag. You know what spiritual jet lag is? It's before a trip, your soul
I've been
already
stuck
kind
in
of
the Middle
leaves.
Ages for millennia. What are you talking about? Spiritual jet lag. Spiritual jet lag is when
you come back, you fly home to Eretz Yisrael, but your soul is not totally back yet. It's lagged. It's still there.
I thought it meant is when your people actually live in the 21st century, but your spiritual leadership is in the 19th.
It's funny you say that because
I'd call that spiritual jet lag.
There are some people who live in the 21st century, and yet their spiritual leadership is like in the 7th century. All right, we got the whole Taliban thing happening in Afghanistan.
6th, 7th century for us, I would be ecstatic if our spiritual leadership lived in the 6th, 7th century of Israel. It's the 19th that I'm frustrated about. Hamavin Yavin. Yeah, the Taliban, whatever, dude. that's a different thing. Non-Muslim, everyone should be healthy and well. I don't have to worry about their 6th, 7th century. Ours, on the other hand, a holify.
You know, it's true, but I am worried about the people that are getting killed right now.
It was not to make light of the humanitarian and cultural and political disaster which is unfolding in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. I did kind of sound like I was
it's all good. All good. I'm saying that there are right now, not so far away from here, people that when the United States, has this kind of rough and unplanned, you know, change in world policy, global policy.
It may have been rough, but it wasn't unplanned. I mean, meaning
since wasn't planned era, well.
Certainly, President Trump also cut a deal. Basically, you know.
The idea was there, but the implementation,
Listen.
You can't leave lists of your colleagues.
There's no question.
The Taliban to take.
There's no question that they turned tail and fled, and there's no question that somebody just wasn't paying attention, or the decision makers weren't getting the information, or whatever. But also, don't forget that Afghanistan is where empires go to die.
Right.
Like since the 19th century and what's called the Great Game, right, between the British and the Russian empires. Afghanistan is where empires go to die. Actually, since before that, in all honesty.
I understand that.
It's the chopping block of the foolish powerful.
Still, don't give in your colleagues to be murdered, okay?
No, I'm not excusing that.
Don't leave behind jets and stuff that could be used by the enemies. This will be remembered as the turning point
of American empire. Even though, in all honesty, it already happened, Anirdati, in my humble opinion. But this will remember it because it's just such a siman. It's like, in the end of the day, no heads are going to roll. Nobody's in America going to lose their. I mean, God forbid, heads will roll in Kabul. But in America, in Washington, no heads will roll. Nobody's going to lose their career over this. And the American people will forget. Except for those who served, who, of course.
Exactly what I was going to say. Those people who know that they're
bond of blood and brotherhood and generally a different political perspective on the question, although not necessarily so. But that itself is the siman. And don't forget, by the way, that Arnold Toynbee teaches in his theory of civilizations that you can have a dead man walking. A civilization can continue to grow and thrive economically and even culturally, but politically it's already dead. Right. And ironically enough, in his world, it would be Trump's slogan that indicates its death, because he says that a people that worships its past more than it worships its future, who glorifies its ancestors instead of elevating its pioneers, has basically already given up. Right. And the whole Make America Great Again piece, as opposed to envisioning what the great future for America is. Right. And by the way, it's a warning for us here in Israel. You know, Zionist nostalgia ain't going to take you anywhere. And post-Zionism may come with certain package that we don't like, but I have post-Zionists that I revere from Yair already down to our dear friend Yehuda Cohen, and I wouldn't even be afraid to call myself one at times, as long as it weren't misunderstood. You know,
I don't think we have too much of a problem of revering past Zionists, or our
culture in Israel. The right, which represents more the values that I'm seeking to see realized in our culture, leans on that Zionist nostalgia, and it's a mistake.
I'm involved with the right and all the way to the very right. And
The very right is a little bit different. That's already post-Zionist.
I'm just saying in many ways, I actually find that reverence here is we are a faithful people, but not a reverent people.
Jews are irreverent probably by nature.
Yeah, I would say we're irreverent. Yeah.
We are. Poor Moshe.
Two more comments. Hello from right up the street of Rabbi Mendel from the closest Chabad to the beach. That's great.
I'm not anywhere near the beach, are you?
Not yet today, but Benji is.
He's not right up the street from us. He's right up the street from the Chabad rabbi.
That's right. And also, Joanne says, Israel should avoid the Taliban, quote-unquote, Hamas, from creating another Afghanistan in Judea and Samaria.
Agreed.
The only solution is prayer, and I add in parentheses to kick jihadi butt, and build more homes in Judea and Samaria. No withdrawal, that there is peace. All right, good.
I don't know if it's the only solution is prayer, but it's an important one. And like we were speaking about, it's also deepening our Torah. Right? And not letting go, like you said, of the political and territorial issues of kicking butt to our enemies, but deepening right. our Torah. Looking, where's the Torah taking us? Not just the spiritual jet lag of nostalgia and trying to tinker with the Torah to make it fit our current needs, but like what's the deep vision and the questions that the Torah is asking us to engage now? Sorry. Well, let's do that.
No, that's absolutely true what you're saying, and I think our mutual friend Rabbi Yehuda Cohen is always putting that front and center. Like, what is the next mission of the Jewish people? What are the goals? Yeah, he does a great job. And by the way, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it, but I did get to do an interview with him.
I saw the picture. I didn't see. I bet it was good. Huh? In New York, huh?
On the streets of New York City. It was
on the streets. You did it on the streets.
On the streets.
Awesome.
On the streets. We went to one of his old like corners, haunts? And we it was good. It was special
has
stuff.
Old haunts.
Yeah, he has old Manhattan haunts.
I don't really have old haunts
on the Upper East Side of all places, and it was fun. So catch that show with Rabbi Yehuda Cohen on being interviewed by me. It was really fun. All right, listen, this is a Torah portion which I called for the purpose of the show, an invitation for declaration, right? Uh-huh. And there's a lot of declarations here. The declarations are many. The first we'll deal with right now are the declarations of the first fruits.
I have
the
arrived.
Bikurim. That's right. Here's my first fruits. And the second declaration is the tithes that you bring to Jerusalem. And then there are declarations of, as the Jewish people come into the land of Israel, I want you to build an altar. And with that altar, I want you to write the Torah on 12 stones. I want you to show the world or declare oath. To yourself. What's that?
I call it a fealty oath.
You know, a fealty oath.
Specifically because it's focused on the Baruch Arur, right, which is a master, servant, client, patron relationship. It's like, if you do, then you will be blessed. If not, you know, it's like that's a very right. clear boom, boom,
right.
boom. It's like,
and then there's like the, that's right. Then there's the 11 curses and blessings. Amen. To declare. And all of those have something in common, which the rabbis point out, which they're all things that are done in secret. All the things that are negative things that are done in secret, they're cursed. They're right. cursed, those things. And so therefore, I'm saying again, it's declarative. God says, like, let's declare something that's kind of hidden. Let's put it out there. You know, things that we might hide from society. Let's put it out there and say what we really stand for so that we're not speaking out of two sides of our mouth. Let's declare that even those things that are hidden, let's put them out there and say, you know, no, this is not our way. Our way is a way of holiness. And then finally, God also declares the curses. What's that?
It's God's own declaration. I mean, it comes
that's
through
right.
Moshe this time, but still.
Right.
Ooh, it's a heavy.
And those declarations are the vision of an upside down world where everything is dark and impossible. And I must tell you that I was just now with Malka and I were with her grandmother, my kids' great grandmother, and she and my kids, and she's 90 something, I think about to be 95, and very, very clear minded, and she has great memory, always had a clear mind. And she and the kids were starting to probe her about the Holocaust. And she's an Auschwitz survivor and many other camps as well. She has a number from Auschwitz.
Will she speak about it with them?
And she started talking right about it. Without any problem, and
amazing.
She said to the kids, she pointed at them, and she said to them, "You are my revenge against Hitler." Kacha, like this, she said to them, that's like a moment in your life when your great grandmother says, you know, you are my revenge against Hitler, your life. Yep. So that's something, and what the reason I mention this is because the curses are. Very much envisioning a state of affairs like the Holocaust,
it is the
which end with, that's right, with which end with the God forbid declaration that I'll send you back on ships as slaves to Egypt, and nobody will even want to buy you. That's how bad it'll be. It's a total reversal of Jewish history. God says, "Be with me, and I will take you forward." Like you said before about Toynbee, like your history will move forward. If not, I will devolve the whole thing.
You know, they say that when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, the slave markets of Rome were so flooded with the captives that a horse cost more than a human being.
Mm-hmm.
In terms
more
of
than
like,
a Jew.
More than a Jew. Yeah, meaning the kium, the fulfillment of that vision there has happened more than once. And mm-hmm. of course, Jewish life was even cheaper in Germany.
Right. That's right.
So it's a powerful declaration of the way in which things can go.
Okay, so let's just get to the first two declarations and talk about them for a second. The first one is the tithes. The first fruits. You got to bring your first fruits between Shavuot, and there's different opinions, and Sukkot. And some people say between Shavuot and all the way to Hanukkah, because the olive trees actually, their fruits, their yield comes after Sukkot and almost till Hanukkah. And so you got
to
bring...
By the way, just not to be mefakfish, it's a question of when you can do the declaration and not necessarily when you can bring. The bringing is much more wide open, but the declaration is an act of simcha. It's an act of rejoicing. So therefore, it's got to be like in the zone of abundance. And that's the question there. It's like, really, the zone of abundance ends at Sukkot? But the truth is the pressing of the olives continues, so that's also an abundant time. I just want to put the finger on the issue. The issue isn't so much bringing the Bikurim, it's that it has to be the joy that you take in the abundance of good that God has given us by being in the land.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that zone of abundance. That's like motivational.
The samachta, right? That's right, right? That's what it says. You shall rejoice, right? So,
and so you go in front of the you go to Jerusalem and you go in front of the Kohen, and there's a discussion in halacha whether they have to prompt you or not, but you basically have to say the phrases that we say on Passover, Arami Oved Avi.
What you're looking at is the essence of suffering as a transformative vessel for historical growth, right? Whether it was the Aramaean tried to destroy my father, and then we ran away down to Egypt, and there we suffered even more and became a great, or my father was a wandering Aramean, like I'm just chucking through life, and what happens when you're chucking through life is you come across a crucible, and it either destroys you or it makes you stronger. And the essence of the history of Am Yisrael is that the good Lord blessed us with the power of a story which can transform suffering into a source of positive identity and action in the world, not just as a reflection internally, but in a positive identity which builds the world.
Right. And if I didn't say, by the way, we're in Parshat Ki Tavo, which is in the book of Deuteronomy Dvarim, we're chapter 26. That's the Torah portion. And just like you're saying, that, you know, we called out from a dark place, from this crucible, and God heard us. God heard our affliction, and he took us out of Egypt in a strong arm.
And a mighty hand.
In a mighty hand. With great wonders, and he brought us to this place. He brought us to this place,
which of course is the Temple Mount. Let's just remember
the Temple Mount, Jerusalem.
It's not just the land; it's specifically too. You're there at the altar,
right?
Place where heaven and earth connect.
And the New York Times I think yesterday came out with an article being like, Israel's policies have changed on the Temple Mount. They're praying up there.
The Jews are praying.
Right. And the whole world is just like, it's a New York Times article. Though. It's like, never Jews are praying on the Temple Mount.
The same way Hitler, Yamach Shemo, understood that if he wanted to rule the world, he had to eliminate the Jews. So too, not that I'm comparing the New York Times to Hitler, but so too, the New York Times and the world that it represents understand that if they want to rule the world, they have to stop us from connecting to our prayer at the place where heaven and earth connect. Because they want to distract you. They want to empty out your life and make it an endless pursuit of consumption and meaningless factoids. And the thing that we stand for is actually building a world that matters. And prayer is one of our primary tools.
I'll say the same thing you just said, but a little bit in a different spin, which is when the Jews pray on the Temple Mount, it's an aha, wow moment. It's a New York Times moment. It's like, whoa, there's Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. That is a mile marker. In Jewish history, after 2,000 years, there they are doing their thing again, praying on the Temple Mount. And so it's a New York Times worthy article. Was it front page? I don't know. Was it?
I don't read the internet.
I don't read the
description for research purposes. Don't jump on my case for hard winged Zionist.
Okay. And he brought us to this place, the Temple Mount. Veiten lano ta'aretz hazot. And he gave us this land. Eretz zavat chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Wait, can I share one thing with you on that line?
The beautiful
shot from Eric Fromm. We've spoken about Fromm before. You, years ago, when I asked you about Fromm, you said, I read The Art of Loving, but I haven't read Escape from Freedom or The Man Himself, etc. So I recently have been working with The Art of Loving, because it's a tremendous tool for counseling, I find.
Absolutely.
And he gives a beautiful shot on why is it Eretz zavat chalav udvash? He says that the job of, like, what he sees as a psychoanalyst, so he's talking about mother love. He says there's two types of mother love. One is sustain, unconditional life. Give life, and that it's very important for a child and every human being to feel like there's a love that is just... But then there's another job that a mother or the mothering person has, which is to teach people that life is good. It's not just like you're going to survive, but life is good. That's a good thing. No matter how difficult, it's a good thing. So he says, why is it Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash? He says, Chalav is Chalavim. It's mother's milk. It will sustain you. And God could have said, listen, you've been slaves. You're wandering the desert. You're going to live. He says, but Udvash. You don't need Dvash. You don't need honey to survive. You live perfectly fine. Some people tell you it makes you sick, right? But not really. Because if you don't mm-hmm. taste the sweetness and the goodness of life, then like Shuma, like what? Like you were saying before, mm-hmm. right? And so it's beautiful, right? That God promises Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash.
It's going to be good life. We say it in a different way in Judaism. Shana Tova Umetuka. Right? Yeah. Like have a good year. Like you know, all the basics sweet. Should be taken care of. But right. and sweet.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, and that's great. And Erich Fromm, he was really a very brilliant guy.
Jew lost his Torah in World War I. How can you blame a man, huh? Imagine.
Yeah, but he great
never really
thinker.
Lost it in his own way. Oh yeah.
A great thinker. I would say my personal explanation for Land of Milk and Honey is the same thing when it comes to milk. It's mother's milk. But honey is one of the things that bees make in order to lay their larva in there. And then when the larva is born, they eat from it. And so to me, honey is a representative of the womb. And so when you say land of milk and honey, it's land of feminine, you know, motherly milk, raising the child. And honey is fertility and the womb itself. And so it's a way of saying, it's kind of a secret way of saying land that will raise you, land that will be your motherland. And you will grow here and you'll be strong and you'll be successful in it. And so it's like a code to say this is a land of fertility, which is a more kosher version of like something that like the idolatrous folks would kind of, you know, serve, you know, some kind of gods of fertility. This is a way of saying, I will give you a land of fertility. It's a land of milk and honey. It's just a more beautiful way to say that. So that, I think that ties in nicely with Erich Fromm. Excuse me, a little bit of
get all choked up, huh?
Yeah, no, I think it's actually phlegm in the vocal cords. Anyway, anyway, so as you said, you have to be happy with all the thing that all the goodness that God gives you, and then so that's declaration number one.
Yep.
Then there's another declaration, which is the tithing in the third and sixth year. These are the tithes that you gotta bring to Jerusalem. Am I right? We have
no.
Um,
third and sixth year is Meister Oni. First, second, fourth, fifth is
Meister
Shani. This is Meister Oni. This is the tithes given to the poor. I mean, these are the third year. You have the Biarta. The declaration is for all tithes. I mean, you're getting any Meister Shani that you have not yet taken to Jerusalem. You have to do from the first and second year. But the third year itself is not a Meister Shani year. Third year and the sixth year are Meister Oni. But you are correct that in the third year,
and that's the one that you bring to Yerushalayim.
Yeah, because you should have brought it to Jerusalem in the first or second year. You've now reached the end of the third year where you didn't separate in that year. But if you haven't taken it to Jerusalem, then you need to get up there and have a party, basically. Yeah.
Right, and that's also called that's also called biur masrot, right?
Yeah, biur just means to eliminate. Usually, I mean, the implication is by fire, but not necessarily. It can also just mean like getting rid of.
You're paying off those masrot. You're bringing them into Jerusalem.
No, you're consuming them. It's a consuming them. Mm-hmm. It's very important. It's consuming, right? Biur is they should be consumed to extinction, that they no longer exist. And
okay.
literally in the second tithe, it's meant to be eaten in Jerusalem.
Right.
Either literally, like you take the grapes with you, or you redeem them to cash, and you use that cash in Jerusalem to buy edible things, oil, wine, meat, bread, etc.
Right. All right, so and then
it's holy conspicuous consumption. That's what
you come to you come to Jerusalem and you say
and spend a tenth of your income on food and drink.
Right.
Now you can go to Mamila and spend more than a tenth of your
right.
income.
And Jerusalem is therefore also a party town.
Jerusalem,
a holy
party town.
Right.
What do you think is going on? They're eating meat and drinking wine and making fresh bread. If not 24/7, certainly on a fairly regular basis. and all, and everybody is meant to take a tenth of their income for, let me do the math. Yeah, 4 years out of the cycle, a tenth of your income, and personally consume it there. Plus, you're giving another tenth of your income to some other guys who most of them live around there, and at least 2% of your income to the guys who are there. And anytime you want to make a vow, there's a cut, pun intended, which goes to those guys who are going to roast it and eat it in public. It's basically an ongoing barbecue with sacred fruits.
That's right. And so you're like, you live in, I don't know, the Negev, and you come up and there's that city that you have this like, wow. And you
smell it from the distance. The first you get the ketoret, you get the incense, which they say, you know, drifted all the way down. The goats in Jericho would sneeze, right? But then you like closer to something, maybe it's the wood, and then they're like roasting fat. Now I'm a vegetarian, I don't even eat the stuff, but I recognize that smell from a distance is like draw you forward.
We're anywhere and the kids smell a barbecue, they're like, oh, somebody's like, having a barbecue.
Where's that?
Oh, where's the barbecue?
But it literally draws you forward in that sense of, and then you go up toward the center of it and you hear the music suddenly and you see the people flowing. I mean, the aesthetics of it are meant to elevate.
Right. And I just want to go back for a second. And two ladies are commenting on the honey issue. Erica says, and honey is healing too.
Yeah, mama. And a preservative.
Right. A preservative. And Debbie chimes right in and says, yes, being back in our land is our honey, our healing after being in the Galut. It's a bomb. It's a bomb.
Yeah, bomb.
The bomb of Iliad. Okay.
Gilead.
That's right.
Gilead is something else.
No, Bomb of Gilead. I probably heard it in the Iliad.
The Iliad is something else.
Do you know about the time that I spoke to a European group and I said to them, you know, for us, the Tanakh is like for you, you know, Homer, you know, the Odyssey. And they just looked at me with like,
What
are you talking about? I'm like, you know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, you know,
mythic culture.
They're like, they just looked at me like, what Homer are you talking Simpson? About?
You talking about the Simpsons? That's what I thought you were going to say.
If
Homer
it was Simpson,
the average English speaker
Homer Simpson, the fachot, that's a high level Homer Simpson.
The Jews are definitely behind Homer.
Anyway, so you could see how far there's a degradation, even in their own culture. In any case, quite the opposite is the declaration, which you say in front of God. You're saying, first you're saying about yourself, I have followed your laws properly, but then this incredible verse. So far, what we've seen is like you talk about where I am, where I've gotten to. You've brought me here, and then there's within this declaration is within this Torah. There's a request to God. This is how God teaches us to talk to Him, and He says, and this person's supposed to say, Hashkifa mimeon katshecha, look down from your holy abode, or look. Not, I don't know the word down. It's not right. Look from your holy abode, from your holy abode, mina shemayim, from the heavens. Ubarech et amcha, and bless your nation, et Israel, Israel, v'et adama, and the land, asher natata lanu, which you have given us, kasher nishbata la'avoteinu, as you've swore to our forefathers, eretz zavat chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Notice, by the way, if land flowing with milk and honey is feminine, notice how that beautifully ties into, as you swore to our forefathers, the men folk, and to this land, which represents, and the land of milk and honey, which represents the feminine. And so you have this balance. Look down from heaven down to this earth, and bless us. You know, it's like so visceral. I want to put this verse up on my wall here. Like, look down from your holy abode and bless this people, this land, and remember the promise that you gave both to the forefathers and to the land.
Yeah, it's a very powerful sort of a encapsulation of the structure within which we're meant to exist and thrive. Or without even getting into it, you can keep chasing it out to the fact that the poor and the support of the vulnerable within society is an essential part of this act, right? Because that's also wrapped up in the whole cycle of Maaser. Meaning the aspect of give and receive, right? And one of the things that like you wonder, like, why is there a vidui? Like, Mela, like, I understand why I have to get the miser out of my house. Like, okay, I'm supposed to do this year, that year, this. But why is it important that I make a public declaration? In that, I think it's critical to remember that on some level, the only thing that we can give to God, the only place where God becomes what's called the mekabel instead of a notain, right, the receiver instead of the giver, is our prayer. And so here it finishes out the dynamic you're speaking about and makes it, let's call it a positive feedback loop by flowing it back upwards. The thing that we give, and we know we give to God, so to speak, by making sure that we give to the poor, but on a personal level, in this moment, we're giving to God through our vidui, through our prayer. Right? These are the words which God then receives. It's an important piece. Otherwise, why do I have to make a declaration? Just make sure you do the act. There are many acts we're obligated to do. Most of them are not bound up with that declaration, like you're pointing out in right. this show.
Yeah,
I'm giving you a 5-minute warning, just so you remember.
Yes, and I also, and I just wanted to find one more verse, and I'm having a hard time finding it. Where is that verse about Ha'amirecha? Ha'amarta, et Hashem, et Hashem.
This is 26:18. Hashem Ha'amirecha Yom Liot Lo Lam Skula. It's 26:18.
There it is. There it is. Hashem Ha'amirecha Yom Liot Lo Lam Skula. Hashem who has, now this word is hard to translate.
Right, and it's back. Et Hashem Hamarta Layom, and then Hamirecha. It's a Rashi's a little bit mystified. Like, what exactly is this word?
Right. So I think I have a. I'm gonna give a. I'm gonna throw a stab at it, which is declared. Declared. Hashem Hamirecha Layom. Hashem has declared about you today. That's the difference between Amira, which is just saying. So this Hamirecha is like he has declared upon you. He's declared.
So you want to like it's like a he feel.
Right, it's like right.
Amar, it's like I'm causing myself to say.
Right, which is like, what is the difference between I say and I declare? It's yeah, hard to exactly. It's like a different
from the act. That's the he feel, right? It's not pa'al. I'm not doing the act. I'm causing the act to be done here, right, but it's not reflexive. It's not he pa'al. I like what you're saying. It's always bothered me that Rashi didn't say, well, it's obviously Amar. It's got to be some like, and it makes sense in the context.
Right. So, but if we take the whole Torah portion, as you see all these declarations, you see the whole thing is this like declaratory thing. It's like, so God has declared you today to be him, a treasured people, a special nation.
Which on some level, I guess it is what Rashi says, because he speaks about hafrasha, right? That it's a separation. And in the context of Masrot, in the context of the tithes, all of the tithes that we separate also have a declaration, right? You mean you separate them by saying, and even today, when we do those tithes and we don't actually give most of them physically, we still do an act of saying the part on the northwest corner with the 1/10 of people are familiar with it, sort of like the way you say it, right? But we declare it to be. And in our declaration, we make it separate. So it's very nice. So actually, maybe
I would love it if you would do a class, by the way, on modern tithing and how to do it properly. I would love to hear that. I would love a good.
It's not so complicated.
Okay. So
that's a good time to do it because we're not obligated. So it's a good time to learn.
It's a good time to learn that. So chapter 8, chapter 26, verse 18, Hashem Ha'amirecha Yom, he has declared you today to be an Am Sekula, a treasured nation, special nation, Kasher Dibercha. And then where's the other side?
The 17, as you first. Said.
Right. Et Hashem Ha'amarta Yom, and you have today declared that Hashem is going to be a God for you and that you shall, v'lelechet bedrachav, you'll walk in its path, in his paths, lishmo chukav, to keep his ways, to keep his statutes, umitzvotav, and his commandments, umishpatav, and his, how do you want to translate that? His,
rules?
Rules, laws.
Laws.
Lishmo bekolo, you have declared that that's what you're doing. We're declaring it. And God says, and I declare you.
You didn't translate the last piece, which is so important, Jews, especially those who are into his chukav and mitzvotav and mishpotav.
Right.
Don't miss the fact that behind all of those commandments, statute, law, rules is a voice.
Right.
And you must be listening to that voice as well.
Right. And we call that, by the way, in American law, we call that the spirit of the law. Like, try to understand what he's saying to you. Don't be like didactic to the point where you become a kind of automaton robot, an ultra kind
where,
of
where like Isaiah
person.
Says, it becomes kav, kav, tzav, tzav, right?
Right.
Line, command, command, and then poof, the whole thing.
See the big picture. See where the whole trajectory is, what he wants from you.
Listen to the voice behind the words.
Very good. And then we do, and then God will, and if we do that, God shall declare about us that we're going to be his treasured nation and we're going to be that channel for spirituality to the world. Rav Mike Foyer, you're a channel for spirituality to the world. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Likewise.
RavMike.com. That's right. And
JewishStory.com and JewishStory.co.
That's right. That's CO.
Somebody else
got
it out there. Somebody wants to pick that up for me and give it to me. I'm happy to have it.
All right. Very good. So check it out. JewishStory.co and RavMikeFoyer@gmail.com is the way to reach you.
Or on Facebook, you have also, I'm always out there.
That's right. And you also have a new masterclass that people can join That's true. And
TJS that's live really, every Sunday evening. Israel 8 to 9, America 1 to 2.
Very good. God bless you. And America, thank you so much East for Coast. Joining us. Yeah, in the East Coast, which then goes to the rest. Okay.
All right.
It's got the sun. The sun's got to rise somewhere, right? So there you go. That's the way it works. Rev Mike Kfuer, thank you so much for joining us. And I bless you that God shall that we shall declare God to be king and that he shall declare us to be that treasured nation.
Amen. Amen.
All right. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. And thank you folks for being with me. It was really fun to be with Rev Mike and to get that energy going again and to be live from Judea. And it is the Rosh Hashanah season. I want to urge you to go to yishaifleisher.com. Check out all the other stuff I'm doing, all my other projects. Of course, first and foremost, strengthening Jewish Chevron. And of course, we're always giving out sparks of Jewish Chevron, of the forefathers and mothers. We also intake sparks. So send us your emails, send us your prayers. And if you want to donate and support, check out HebronFund.org, HebronFund.org. And if you want to support my continuing broadcasts and my efforts to beautify places like the Tomb of Rut and Yishai in Chevron, then to renovate it. So, and also the Israel Biblical Highway, which we're working on a lot now to create as a road that hooks in, that brings together seven holy cities on one biblical highway, on one original Bible Belt, then go to yishaifleisher.com and donate. It's a great time before Rosh Hashanah to get out your tithes and to give people here in the land of Israel strength and bless them wherever you are. And I want to thank all of you so much. And I want to thank all the good folks that are there, including Allison, who says, thank you both. Good start to my day and goodbye. Absolutely. Luis asks, I have a problem with that. Luisa says, disabled access. We're working on it at the Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs. And anybody who's disabled will be able to get in with pride, but till then we'll get you in one way or another. That's for sure true. And God bless you guys wherever you are. And thank you for joining me from all over the world. And I want to bless you out there in Sweden and in England and in India and in the different parts of the United States. I love that we are global together. We are a global community in the best way possible when we have something to focus on, which is the love of Israel, the love of the God of Israel, the yearning to follow him more closely. That is what brings us together. And that is my great honor and pleasure to be a small channel of that for you. And all I want is you to channel it back by sending me an email and connecting and just being part of the story. So lots of love and lots of blessings from the land of blessings. Thanks again to Lou, to Yocheved, to Moshe Herman, and to Ben Bresky and to Tabitha for getting the show out. More great stuff is on the way. Stay tuned, stay connected, stay part of the program. Lots of love, lots of blessings, and shalom.
The Land of Israel Fellowship is ready to usher in the Hebrew New Year with wisdom and faith. Join Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel for the weekly online fellowship. Like-minded people from around the globe seeking to learn Torah from Judea. A new cycle, a new world. To register, click on thelandofisrael.com/fellowship.